This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. I'm reading it from the Contemporary English Version of the Bible. Jesus crossed Lake Galilee, which was also known as Lake Tiberias. A large crowd had seen him perform miracles to heal the sick, and those people went with him. It was almost time for the Jewish festival of Passover, and Jesus went up on a mountain and with his disciples and sat down. When Jesus saw the large crowd coming towards him, he asked Philip, "Where will we get enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip, since he already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, "Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only little bread for these people?" Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the disciples. He spoke up and said, "There's a boy here who's got 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But what good is that with all these people?" The ground was covered with grass, and Jesus told his disciples to make everyone sit down. About 5,000 men were in the crowd. Jesus took the bread in his hands and gave thanks to God. Then he passed the bread to the people. He did the same with the fish until everyone had plenty to eat. The people ate all they wanted. And Jesus told his disciples to gather up the leftovers so that nothing would be wasted. The disciples gathered them up and filled 12 large baskets with what was left over from the 5 barley loaves. After the people had seen Jesus perform this miracle, they began saying, "This must be the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus realized they would try and force him to be their king. So he went up on a mountain where he could be alone. This is the word of God. Thanks be to the Lord.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come here this morning, that, Lord, we can come however we feel. Lord, whether we're feeling like we want to rejoice, Lord, whether we feel actually quite downcast, Lord, you invite us to come as we are. And Lord, in these moments now, as we come to your word, Lord, let it bring life to our souls, so that, Lord, we can rejoice more in you. Lord, give me words to speak which come from you, so that we can hear your word. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So we come to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel. And this is probably a miracle that if you've been in church a while, you might have heard quite a few sermons on the feeding of the 5,000. If you haven't, it's a fantastic story. It's in all 4 of the Gospels, and John has a particular nuance to his Gospel. And what's interesting about it in John's Gospel is the only miracle in Scripture where it has an explanation about why he did it. See, if you open your Bibles to John chapter 6, it starts with the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Then there's next week's miracle, which is Jesus walking on water, followed by then an explanation about what the miracle is all about. And Jesus explains that he is the bread of life. See, the people come to him having been fed once in this large multitude where Jesus has broken bread, multiplied this bread so that everyone there can eat. And all these people come to him thinking, oh, if we go to Jesus, we can get some free bread. And so they all come to Jesus wanting more bread. And Jesus says, you've come to me with the wrong expectations. You've come seeking the wrong thing. You've come seeking something which will sustain you maybe for a day, but it won't last. And he says, what I can give you, though, is something that lasts for eternity, something that lasts forever. And he's saying, if only you could have eyes to see that what I could offer you is so much greater than the expectation you've come with. You're all settled just for a piece of bread which will pass away. But he says, you've missed that you're in the presence of the one who can give life to you for all eternity. And he says, you see, I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you shall never go hungry. And they're saying, well, if this is true, Jesus, give us a sign about this. Show us that this is the case. And Jesus is going, I've just shown you. Yesterday, when we sat down on the hillside and I taught you, and I broke bread, that was me showing you the sign. And yet you didn't have eyes to see it then. See, what a stupid thing to say to Jesus. Show us a sign about this. He's like, I've just shown it to you. You've already seen it. And how often, how easily we want God to prove himself in this particular way, when often he's already done it. Often he's already shown us what we need to know of him. If only we have eyes to see what he is saying to us. If only we'd have eyes to see what he truly offers us, rather than expectation that we come with and that we desire from him. Because our expectations of Jesus are very limited. We come for little things, but God wants to give us life, and life in abundance, and life eternal. And he's trying to say to these people, you've got it wrong. You've missed the point. And I recommend you read the rest of chapter 6. I'm not going to read it to you now, but read the rest of chapter 6, and it'll explain much more of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in John's account. Now, this is a miracle which is the only other miracle that involves food. So we had water into wine a few weeks ago, and now we have bread. There's these two miracles about food, and they're the two pictures, the wine, the water into wine, and here, the bread multiplying. They're the pictures and the symbols that Jesus then later on uses as the sign at Passover of the new covenant, of this is what the new covenant is like. So what John is trying to say is, here are miracles that Jesus did which show who he is, that he is the one who gives us the new covenant. He is the one who is ushering in the new covenant. And he's been demonstrating this constantly through his ministry, that when he turned water into wine, he was showing you about the grace and the abundance of his blood to cover all sin and to fulfill all of the law. And he's saying, now here we are with the bread. This is a picture of God's grace. You see, Jesus was saying, I am the bread of life. And this miracle is important because it shows us that Jesus is in the line and the tradition of the law and of the prophets. See, in the desert, the people wandered around and God provided bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. And when you read later on in chapter 6, it talks about Moses providing bread in the desert. And it's saying, I am like Moses. The way that Moses provided bread from heaven for you to eat, so now I am the bread from heaven for you to eat. And the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is saying, I am like him who has the ability to feed the multitude. I am the one who has the ability to bring bread from heaven to you. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I think verse 15 and 17, it talks about how Moses says, there'll be a prophet who comes like me, who God will raise up from among you, who'll be like me. And what you see throughout the prophets is people multiplying bread as a symbol of God's grace from heaven. So we look at Elijah, and Elijah has the miracle where he goes to the widow's house, and there's only a small bit of flour and a small bit of oil, and yet in the presence of God, it continually provides that every day there is more flour and there is more oil to make more bread. That there's a multiplication of the bread for the duration that God dictates. And then with Elisha, there's a story in Elisha about how he multiplies 7 loaves for hundreds of people. See, what Jesus was doing wasn't out of the ordinary. It was something that happened in the tradition of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people had a tradition that the one who would come would bring someone who would be bringing bread from heaven. That's what he would do. So when Jesus multiplies the bread, he's saying, I am the bread of heaven. But what Jesus says later on in chapter 6, he says, whereas before you thought Moses provided the bread, or you thought Elijah provided the bread, it wasn't. It was God who provided the bread. You got caught up on the person who was providing the bread rather than the one who sent it. that this is a miracle and a sign to point you to the fact that God is the one who wants to bring life to your life. He is the one who wants to bring life to you. And Jesus is saying, God has sent me into this world to be like bread to you. It doesn't just sustain you for one day, but sustains you for eternity. Recognize that as God sent manna to provide for your every need, so he now provides me to provide for every need. And so the breaking of bread is a picture of this grace being exhibited. You see, because in Scripture, bread is a picture of grace. Because bread is something which brings life. And so you see throughout Scripture that wherever bread is mentioned, it talks about life. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, didn't we, when we talked about in the Heart for the House series, about church and the life of the church and the bread of life then. Bread is a picture of life in Scripture. But it's also a picture of grace. Because bread is something which brings life to you, and grace is the very thing that God offers you to bring you life. So as we come to this miracle, as we look at this miracle, the first thing that you notice is Jesus says to them, how much is it going to cost? What's the cost to provide for all of these people here? What's the cost? And Philip's like, whoa, it's far too much. Even if we worked for years and years and years, the wages wouldn't quite feed just a few of them. And it says Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You see, Jesus was prophetically explaining the gospel here. What's the cost? When we look at the wages of sin, when we look at sin around us in the world, it's like Jesus saying, how much would it cost? What would it cost to provide for everyone's sin? To make right everyone's sin? What's the cost here? What's the cost to bring life to everyone? To show grace to everyone? And humanly you go, that's impossible. How can you possibly do that? But it says Jesus already knew what he planned to do. God already had it in his mind, the plan of salvation, from the very beginning. From the point where we made a demand upon him, where we sinned against him, and then put that chasm between us and him. There was a cost that had to be paid. But God already knew what he was planning to do. He already knew his plan for salvation and for us. What's the cost? And then we have this small boy who Andrew brings along. And Andrew is someone in the Scriptures who seems to always be bringing people to Jesus. He's the one who brings Simon Peter to Jesus. And later on in John 12, he brings another person to Jesus. He's very much a people person, Andrew. He just finds people and says, here you go, Jesus, sort them out. That's sort of Andrew's role and ministry in the disciples. He's like the evangelist. And Andrew brings this small boy and says, this boy's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Any good? And I said, bread is a picture of grace, but the number 5 in Scripture is also a number of grace. When you see 5 in Scripture, it's often a picture of grace. So the 5 loaves represent the grace of God. And the 2 fish, well, 2 in Scripture is a number of witness. So in Revelation, you have the 2 witnesses. You have Jesus sending out the disciples in pairs to go and witness together. Lots of numbers in the Bible are divisions of by 2, which is there to be a picture of witnessing to the world. So it's saying, and fish, again, when Jesus talks about fishes of men, it's a picture of witness. So it's saying this miracle is about grace being shown and a witness to it. These 2 fish, it's a picture of witness. So Jesus breaks the bread and he breaks the fish. And suddenly it provides for the multitude. This little amount becomes huge to the point of abundance. And like we looked at with the water into wine, it wasn't just he changed a little bit of wine, he changed an abundance of wine. And if the wine was a picture of covering the law to the full measure, think about the purification water jugs that were there, these gallons and gallons of water there for purification and washing, which represented the law. And Jesus said, fill them to the brim. And it was all changed into wine. It's a picture of, to the full extent of the law, the blood of Jesus covers it. Well, here we have a picture of the wine at communion. the wine that covers our sin. But then the bit we often forget is the bread of Jesus, which is the grace of God. See, the wine, or the picture of Jesus' blood, makes us right with God. But the grace of God is the abundance and extravagance over that, which welcomes us into the throne room of God. You see, in the temple, in the holy place, which is the place before the Holy of Holies, so in the Holy of Holies in the temple, was where the Ark of the Covenant sat, where only the high priest could enter. And then before that, there was the place of the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was a table which had the bread of presence, which was the 12 loaves of bread which were baked fresh every day for the place of in the temple, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And when we talk about the bread being broken, it's a picture of the veil being torn, the gap between heaven and earth being torn apart, and we can now approach God. So it's a picture of the presence bread that sits before the veil. And as it is broken, it's saying, before there was a process to get to God, but because the law is now dealt with, grace now abounds, and you can walk boldly into the throne room of grace. You can now boldly come before Jesus. You can come boldly before the Father in his majesty, because the law has been dealt with through the blood of Jesus. But the grace of God is the invitation into his throne room. Not just to make you right, but to make you someone who is with God, someone who is a co-heir with Christ. That is the grace that is exhibited. And what struck me is that this little boy, he gives up all of his lunch for the sake of everyone else. And it just struck me, that's a picture of Jesus, isn't it? The little boy is a picture of Jesus, who gives up all of his majesty, everything that he is as God. Gives it all up. He sacrifices himself for the sake of everyone else. And when he sacrifices himself for the sake of everyone else, grace abounds. And at the cross, suddenly, everyone can receive life. Everyone can partake in Jesus. There is life for all people suddenly. So that little boy is a picture of Jesus, giving up all he had to see the abundance of grace abound. See, because when we put whatever we have into the hands of God, it becomes something which goes far beyond anything we could ever do ourselves. Think about the picture of the cross, something which was a very common act in Roman culture, happened all the time. We make it into this kind of special event that Jesus was crucified. It happened all the time. But a crucifixion in the hands of the Father becomes an event which changes the fabric of reality, where grace suddenly flows to all people in all the world. You see, something ordinary in the hands of God becomes something extraordinary. And when we offer, like Jesus does, all of ourselves to Jesus, we offer all that we are to the Father, God can multiply it and let grace abound so that everyone can experience more of his grace and his love. Jesus broke the bread. As he broke it, the more he broke it, the more there was. I often say it when I do communion, that the more broken the bread is, the more people it reaches. There's a picture here how actually often our brokenness is the very thing God uses to reach out to other people. Our experiences in life where we felt broken, where we felt hurt, where we have felt just unable to carry on, is often the very experience that God will use to reach other people. Because when we are broken for him, it has the ability to let grace abound. And that's the magnificent message of the gospel, that God will take everything of us and use it for his kingdom and his glory. So I just want to leave you with the idea of this. Our expectations of Jesus sometimes are the wrong expectations. God's plans are bigger than our plans. He wants us to see him for who he is, not for what we get out of him. What's the cost? Are we prepared to give up the cost? Like Jesus did. And we're called to give up everything for the sake of following him. Are we prepared to count the cost? And recognize that ultimately, It will never be good enough. But God has in mind what he wants to do with us. And when we offer everything to him, it has the ability to reach further than we could ever do on our own. I will leave you with the idea of God's grace is abundant. And he invites us through the brokenness of the bread into his kingdom. See, where grace abounds, it witnesses to the world. The five loaves and the two fish. Grace is there to be a witness. The more we live in the reality of God's grace in our life, the more easy it is to share it with the world. Grace must abound for the mission of the world. It says in one of the other Gospels, I think it's in Mark's Gospel, in about this story, it says Jesus had compassion upon the people before he fed them. And you see, compassion is the heart of the Gospel. And compassion leads us into a place of mission, a place of service. Where there's grace, where there's compassion, it leads to witness and to service. This miracle points to who Jesus is, as the bread of life. And I say this afternoon, I encourage you to go and read the rest of chapter 6 and see what Jesus has to say about himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you are the grace giver. That, Lord, you are the one who provides bread from heaven. Lord, thank you for your scriptures that point to who you are, that reveal the living God, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord God, we just ask that we be people who are prepared to give up everything for you so that grace can abound, even to abundance. Lord God, help us this week know you and know that we are invited into your kingdom and your throne room. And we can walk boldly before you because of the blood of Christ has paid the price. But the bread of you is the abundance which invites us into a relationship with you. Amen. Amen.